Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense. You know that we ain't
coming back. We got to. The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys and chill, but Dante was my guy. Get to dashing because you're done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
Hey there, Marcus Dash here from Chief Concerns. Just want to comment and say BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for football, baseball, boxing, golf, and much more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Monday Morning Tight End on your Monday night with former Chiefs tight end Jason Dunn. JD, how we doing, brother?
What's going on? How you doing? Welcome up for a Monday morning. How's it been, man? You doing all right?
Yeah, we had earlier today we had the show on Bleacher Report highlighting some of the underrated rookies, which you were at a service today this morning when we did that show. So yeah, I hope everything was okay with that and all.
You know, everything was beautiful, man. We had a beautiful homecoming going for my friend. A beautiful person and just soul, and Katrina Taylor, you know, actually I'm gonna show a little picture of her right here. I had it because it's the program of her. So beautiful lady. When I'm telling you, like, you know, it's people in your life that check on you. You know, she was one of those that, you know, she would call me, and her disposition was so soothing at times, the way she would just talk and how she was, man. But it was a beautiful, beautiful service for her. It put up a tremendous fight with this cancer that she succumbed to. But she's won the victory in itself, man. And she comes from a very beautiful family, sisters, and father coached me at EKU. He was the defensive line coach, so he's the one that got me there. Know our family real well. But it was a beautiful service today, man. So that's how we look at the beautiful part of her life. We want to say right here, man, for all the people that's in the chat, what's going on, everybody? How you doing? Charles, let go my ego, the spoken pot. Yo, what's up, man? What's happening? Yo, my brothers is in here. Wendy, about time. Maria, let's go. Lacey Snake, who else is in here? Donna, what's up, Donna? Gary. About time, all the, you know, the usual suspects, Gary. So now it's good. It's good to kind of get in and start digging in a little bit, you know. So yes, coming sir. In, saying what's up to everybody. Appreciate it, Lewis. Kurt Berth. Good to see you, Lewis. Always coming in, man. Shoot. It's good to always see your name when you come in through here, man. So Charles Driver, all of y'all. So we're going to get this thing popping tonight. And do some questions and answer some things that people might have on their mind and talk about a few stuff, right? So it's always good. It's always good, man. So should be an interesting show. I can't wait to see what Marcus has for me and all of you all too. Yeah. JD Marks, love you, brothers. Have a kick-ass show. 100%, brother. Appreciate it. You know we will. So hey, y'all got to ask us something too. You know, y'all here. Y'all in the room. So, you know.
The spoken's got to speak up.
Yeah, y'all got to partake in it. About time. Wait, that hat JD is on fire. Yes, it is. You like that? It's KC with the arrowhead with the Missouri State outlining it, man. So, yeah, I picked this up, man. It's been sitting on my wall here in the room. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to pull this out tonight. You know, I wear the little KC hat, you know, sometimes with my chief concern. You know, I got some gear, man. I got some hats, you know, for sure. That I always like to display, but this one right here is absolute fire, no doubt about it. So I was like, yeah, that's the one tonight.
I bet you Lance, I don't know if Lance is still in here, the spoken podcast. I bet you Lance is a Kansas one of that, JD, like the Kansas City logo with the Kansas State, though, because he's trying to get Kansas over there.
I know it, yeah. Lance has been pushing to try to get over that way. I'm the Brown. What's up? I'm Brown, showing up in here for the night.
Yeah, we got some of the usual suspects were in there earlier because we had the Bleacher Report show, but then we put it on YouTube about an hour ago, and okay. A lot of people were in the chat. I was conversing with some of them. Everyone was talking about the Tom Brady roast from last night. Everyone was really loving some of the clips from that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some Brady got dominated.
I saw some of the clips. You know, they're funny, you know, but that's expected. It's a roast, so you're gonna be a somewhat of the you know vulgarity and all those different things ensues because this is what it is. That's what's expected. So they did a good job of it, man. Anytime you bring professional comedians in to do their work, go with their bit, you know you're gonna have some fun. You know it's gonna be some things that's out of bounds that people are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they said that. Mm-hmm. And from what I saw, there was a whole lot of that. There was a whole lot of that. So
it's all good. Kansas versus JD's has going to be one of the favorites of the cap collection.
Yeah. It's going to be a while for that to happen. It's going to be a while for that to come out.
Oh, there's Stu. There's a man.
My brother, Stu. I got some cool hats. Yes, sir. He does. Stu always says something. You know, Stu's a visor guy. He's a visor guy. And so he loves visor, you know, because he has like the curly, long flowing locks, you know, back in the day when he was Malibu Stu. So he always try to keep his hats out there with the locks flowing. But he always sends me some good hats, man, just to wear. So, hey, y'all got some hats? Y'all want to send it to your boy? Let me know. Or a shirt. I'll put it out here. CrossFit Fig. This is my family. This is what they do out there, man, in Blue Springs. So I always represent them.
I feel like Stu's a big fedora guy. I bet he's got a good fedora hat collection. Am I wrong on that, JD? Is he a fedora guy?
He's not a fedora guy at all. He likes fedoras. Really? He said the fedoras I wore. He was like, man, I like that hat. He sent me like this. He went out and checked some out, man. But I've never seen him wear fedoras.
Interesting. He strikes me as a fedora guy. I feel like he's got a nice, like a Frank Sinatra type fedora kind of collection. I don't know.
Nah, that's not his vibe, man. It's not his vibe. So
totally smash wrong that on
appreciate your support, Chief Concern. Appreciate your Lego, my ego. No doubt about it. So it should be a good time tonight, man. So look, hit me with your best shot, right?
Yeah. Get
away. Yeah, let's go.
Oh, Stu got two. He's got two fedoras. Okay, that's that. Does two make a collection, JD? Or are you gonna have
no? Two is not a collection. Two is, and Stu, I haven't seen those fedoras. You must have them tucked away somewhere in the closet. I've never seen them. So,
yeah. Right, so two's not a collection. Two's, you know, you're a hobbyist. You're not that's so much collection yet. No,
not dedicated. Casual. Right, exactly. Not quite dedicated this year yet. You know, you get a couple of them just to put there and see how it's going to look on you. So,
I've seen you wear fedoras before, but would you say you're a fedora collector?
I have a few.
Okay.
So I do have a few, and my thing is. With suits, man, I've been collecting hats for a long, long time. And so I used to get a lot of hats in Philly. Philly has some great hat shops. And so when I got out to Kansas City, I didn't see that much out there. Didn't really have like the variety of things, you know. So this is where I go get my ball caps, you know what I mean? My fitteds out that way. Of course, supporting the Chiefs and whatnot. But
yeah. So JD, obviously so the floor is yours tonight, guys. We love the way everything went last Monday. So you guys, get in your questions. We're going to get to them as much as we can. But I did want to ask JD a question about rookie minicamp wrapping up today. On our show earlier, I mentioned that Reggie Brown, the JMU receiver, is going to be on our show Wednesday night. We've had him locked in Wednesday night to come on. So you guys, let's give him a warm welcome to Chiefs Kingdom. So you guys come in here, ask him all your questions, welcome him. I told him that everybody at Chiefs Kingdom, we had even a few guys on our show, on our comments, have talked about Reggie Brown before. So you guys come on in here, give him a warm welcome to Kansas City and show him what Chiefs Kingdom is all about. So that's Wednesday night, 8 p.m. for our weekly show. But JD, so rookie minicamp wrapped up. And I want to know, so we've had a lot of the local news reporters have pretty much said, oh man, like Jared Wiley's tearing it up. This guy looks like he could be the next guy. We talked about the whole the next Kelsey kind of thing. Yeah. But how much stock do you put into it? Obviously, he tore it up. I mean, that's great. He tore it up during rookie minicamp. That is great rather than the opposite. I didn't like Saturday when Xavier Worthy, I know it was media time. They only get like 15 minutes in the beginning and then they get out of there. But they're posting his videos of his catches, and I only saw one clip of his of the one catch that he had, because all the clips I saw were just him dropping it. I was like, all right, guys, and I found the one clip of him catching it, so I shared it on our channel. Like, all right, let's prop this one up. Let's not share around the drops here. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, it's drills, guys. They catch a million balls during practice. You're gonna have a drop here and there during practice. But how much stock do you put into rookie minicamp? When it comes to when you hear reports of, oh, he looked amazing, oh, he looked awful, like, how much stock do you put into it?
I mean, this is the first look that everybody had a chance to put their eyes on guys. And so you ought to look amazing. I mean, this is like you're trying to get what you pay for, right? And so are you as advertised, okay? So they want to see Xavier Worthy's speed, okay? His change of direction. Can he catch the football? Can he get deep? Like all those different things they want to be able to see. And from what I've heard, he put that all on display. And like you said, some of the balls that everybody's looking at. And sometimes you don't want to get in because guys going to be pressured. You know, it's a whole different thing. Rookie camp is a whole different deal when all the guys, main guys get back. But you want to see all that. Jared Wiley, same thing with him. Like he's supposed to go out there and explode. He's supposed to be that guy. I love that aspect of it, of showing what you can do. If you can look pretty, this is the time to do it. When you're not in all your full pads, we said this, man. Like if you can't be a superstar without your pads on, flying around, then we got the wrong guys. We got the absolute wrong guys. But for us, I think we got the right ones. I think we got the right ones. And of course, these things about this is, you know, they're going to learn from all the, you know, the veterans that come in, how to do things, how to operate, how to practice. And this is it's a totally different thing from college to pros. And so that stuff will still be, you know, we still have to wait till all of that pans out, because when you got, Patrick Mahomes throwing the ball to you, or you're watching Travis Kelce, the things that he's doing, it's a little bit different. Same thing defensively. When you're going against these guys, Jared Wiley, when he goes against Nick Bolton and all those, it's going to be a different animal, right? And George Kolaptis, and, you know, that's a little bit different. And it's the way it's supposed to be. So it's good. I'm going to put stock in it because you're supposed to show what you can do while we got you here, right? And you're supposed to be impressed, okay? That's why these guys got drafted. So that I put some stock in that for sure. Absolutely. Now, when you come in, you start comparing it to, like, guys, like I said, when the vets get here, different thing. Not to mention pads on too. So we'll see what that is. Sandman's out here. What's up, Sandman? All right, let's go with it.
Yeah, the one thing I'll say is, and you kind of alluded to it a little bit, it's not a lot of contact in these camps. So everyone's talking about, oh man, there's the clips of the what's it, Zamet, the dude from the rugby player, of him, catching returns, the punts and the kick returns and stuff. I probably, obviously, jugs machine, you know. But come on, guys, you can't base on that. Oh, he could be a return man. Like, let's get the contact going here. Let's get the games be everything coming with this whole thing, because we still don't know what he can do. And I you know, call me a pessimist with this whole thing, JD. I know it's a great story, but again, it's just there's too much hype around it, and it's like I would love for it to work out, but at the end of the day.
Well, I'll tell you what. Well, I'll say this. you know, and I've seen that Andy wants to encourage, right? Because he knows he has a long way to go. But like I said, he wants to see his speed. Okay. We want to see you catch the ball. We want to see you run with the ball. And so Andy said, it's a little bit different because you have a bigger ball in rugby than it is in, you know, American football. And so he's getting used to those things, running with the ball, holding it a particular way, you know, the 5 points you want to hold it with. All those things are, you know, surprising. Those things are good to see. So Andy is encouraged by that, right? We want to see his speed. That's what we want to see. Are you as advertised? We can't have you come in and everybody saying you're running a 4.4 or 4 whatever it is and have the fastest, you know, speed on the field, whatever it is, and we don't see it displayed. So I don't care if you have the ball in your hand or not. Go, right? So catch it. Go. So I think it's going to be exciting when we get out there and we actually see him, like I said, with pads and whatnot on. That's when you can really gauge where everybody's at, okay? And it's still going to be somewhat of a learning curve. But they'll get it. They'll get it. Football is football, okay? And I think these guys, like I said, I think we got it all right. So
it's kind of okay, Lewis, you know I love you, buddy. It's comments like that. I'd rather trust Zaman over K Tony. Well, first off, we never see Tony returning kicks. He was the punt return guy, and he has one of the longest punt returns, and I think the longest punt return in Super Bowl history. So if we're talking about a guy who's never done a return in an NFL game, how can you trust a guy who we have zero like background information on? That's where it's like, okay, let's pump the brakes with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody's down on Kadarius Toney right now, right? And so we're going to have comments like that. Lewis, I get that, you know, saying, you know, so Zamit, we've given chances and opportunity to Kadarius Toney. And so Lewis is probably just expressing that feel. But yeah, I Kadarius Toney, without a doubt, is much more of a returner than Zambit is. So
I will say, I do think we are going to give, because I think with Tony not being the number one guy anymore going into the season, I think we will see Tony kind of doing what, you know, being more of a specialist kind of guy. We'll probably see him more in the punt return role or kick return role even now that he's not the focal point as far as our number one weapon on offense as a receiver. So I think we'll see him more in that role this year. So,
okay. So GND 111, rugby guys handle the ball 40 minutes half, probably 50 times to take 40 hits. They got hands, bet that. Yeah, I don't question his hands at all. But I'll take what you just said, and I'll put it together what Charles Driver just said. Everyone looks good until the first hard tackle. After that is how you get up to see how good you are. Sure. That's the explosion. That's what it is. That's the explosion. So, man, hey, we'll definitely see. I think Zami can handle the hits. I don't question him getting hit at all. It's a different thing, man, when you know you got pads and stuff on, because then you could really lay out into a body and legs and stuff, man. But he'll be fine as far as the physical part of it. I think it's gonna be all right.
We got some KT love in here. You got a Jeff with KT's going off this year. Okay. I'm down with that. Because at this point, he's going to be our number three receiver, number three, or number four. If he's going off at number three or number four, teams are going to have fits this year. So I do love that.
Yeah. I think KT's going to do a decent job for us. And so depth chart-wise, like you said, he don't have all the pressure on him to be the guy. If he's healthy, we've seen what he's been able to do. We know his athletic ability, you know, how he can make guys miss. I mean, that joker can cut, he can move, he can do all the things. He got everything in his bag he's able to do. What we just worry about for him is just durability. That's it. It's durability. So still remains to be seen. We'll see, though, when it comes down. We'll see. So.
All right, JD, here we go. We're going to go to some of the questions that we got from some of the people. So the spoken. What is U2's outlook for George Karlaftis' career? I compare him to Ryan Kerrigan. Something we haven't discussed yet. Would love to get your insight, JD.
Okay. Let me see. Two outlook for George Karlaftis' career. I think George is going to get better. I think Karlaftis is going to just have a much better year than he did last year. He's just going to improve. That's a good comparison. I never thought about Ryan Kerrigan. It's a pretty decent comparison. Ryan Kerrigan was one of those guys that always surprised and shocked me. Him wouldn't been able to get, you know, the sacks and things that he did. Good player. Good player. So I think, man, to be honest with you, he's learning a lot. And as long as he continues to get down with this, man, he reminds me of a guy that is going to be steady. He's just going to have a consistent year after year after year. He's just going to be making plays. He's one of those, like, I'm looking at, like, every year he's just going to get better and better and better. That's what I look for, you know, for King George. So hopefully that's what it's going to be. But I think, man, as long as – you know what I think about for him, at least for me, maybe he has this figured out. I think he's figuring out where he needs to be physically, okay, like how big he needs to be effective all the time. I think at times he thinned up a little bit, maybe didn't bode as well for him. He was a little bit quicker, but maybe if he puts on like a little weight and keeps that strength too, he could still be that guy, okay? And this is just me. I think – I don't know where he is right now as far as weight-wise, but I think maybe if he stays bulked up maybe around like about the 265 range, I don't know, somewhere like that, and he can still be effective, he's going to be a monster. He's going to be a monster to handle for a long, long time. And still, like I said, be fast and quick. So,
yeah. Funny thing, Ryan Kerrigan, my first job in the media was an intern with a local Washington D.C. station, and I actually had one of my first interviews with the player was Ryan Kerrigan. So that's a funny little 360 there. But no, it's interesting. It's a really good comparison. You got the Purdue background. Both guys went to Purdue. Both 6'4", 263. So like, there you go. Boom, right away. Both really like guys who maybe not the strongest guy, not the fastest guy, but probably one of the more hardworking guys. Both guys are grinders, nonstop motor type dudes. This is interesting too. Through the first 2 years, Ryan Kerrigan had 16 sacks, 7.5, 8.5 sacks. Through the first 2 years for George Karlaftis, guess how many sacks he had, JD?
What, 16?
16 and a half.
So 16 and a half. Yeah, man. Yeah.
First year Karlaftis had first year Kerrigan at 7.5. First year for Karlaftis was 6, and the second year for Kerrigan was 8.5. Second year for Karlaftis was 10.5. So yeah, so but right now both in line right neck and neck. Third year for Kerrigan was 8.5 again. So he was a model of consistency every year. So like, you know, if Karlaftis can either have 10.5 again or, you know, get more, I mean That's I'd love to see if he becomes a Ryan Kerrigan type guy. Would love that. Kerrigan played for 11 years. But I guess last year he didn't start that much. Last 2 years he didn't really start that much. But yeah, man.
Yeah. I think, you know, a lot of of course injuries and stuff like that.
Wearing but
G&D said Karlaftis needs to be closer to 270. In my opinion, that's what I believe too. If he could be right there around about 270, I think that'd be perfect for him. Like I said, and still have that type of speed. For him, you know, being 260 and that's huge. For a guy like with his shape and size, 263, 270, people may not think that's a big deal, but it's a big deal in football. It's a big deal. Because, sometimes you add size, strength comes with it too. And so if you're cutting down so much, you may lose a little bit of that strength. You feel like you're gaining speed, but if he could keep that strength, he can still keep that speed. Like I said, man, he's going to be a hell of a player, man, for a few years to come.
If we can have that Ryan Kerrigan juice, I would love that. He has anything similar to that kind of career that he had.
Yeah. Yeah. Play still working with Tamba. Appreciate that, Donna. No doubt about it. You know, Tamba, man, hats off to him, man. Getting into the Chiefs Ring of Honor too. It's my guy right there, man. Tamba deserves every bit of it, every single bit of it. When I think about guys that don't get their due, I say that about Tamba. Tamba is so modest in who he is, humble. When you see him and you meet him, man, he he's just a solid, solid guy, man. Beautiful spirit, hell of a warrior. Great people, man. Great people. You know what I mean? So,
friend of the show, Tom, one of our guests on the show. Maybe we need to get him back on this offseason.
We got to get him back on here. We'll get him back on here. We'll definitely get him back on. See how like all this stuff been happening with the young guys. How everything's been going. So,
So yeah. Speaking of a guy who we've had on our show, we got a question from About Time asking about T. Rich. So I got one for JD. Back in like 2002, I met one of my favorites, T. Rich, in Wichita, and he was the nicest dude. Wanted to know if you have a good or funny T. Rich story, JD.
T. Rich, my brother. Yeah, definitely one of the nicest guys you're going to meet. Has that million-dollar smile. That's who he is. That's his disposition, no doubt about it. Do I have a I wonder if you have a good or funny story, funny T. Rich story. Oh man, let me see. You gotta have me think of one. Just trying to think. Let me get back to that one. I'll think of something. I'll bring it back up. Okay. But T. Rich, when I'm talking about a solid player, solid person, that's who he is. No doubt about it. T. Rich used to do the best Jimmy Ray impersonations. That was one thing he used to do all the time. I could hear him all day do Jimmy Ray. He used to do the one of Jimmy Ray talking about Mike Cloud. Okay.
Wow, that's a name. That's a name right there.
That's a name. That's a name. So Mike Cloud going to, I think, doing a signing at Walmart or someplace, Price Choppers or whatever, something like that, right? And so how T. Rich is telling it, you know, Jimmy Ray is sitting there saying, when you win, you know, everybody's getting the glory. Everybody's getting the glory. He said, I come into the office and I can see all over Mike Cloud about to go do a signing over here, Price Choppers and stuff like that. He said, where's Mike Cloud at? He said, here, sir. He said, Mike Cloud, how many carries do you got? None. See what I'm talking about? He ain't even stepped on the field. He ain't got a carry. And look, everybody won't go see Mike Cloud. When you win, everybody want a piece of you. And I said, that's true. Success brings that, right? Success brings that. And so I think probably, you know, what the story of it is, you know, the more of it is, you know, when you have the success around you, the spotlight around you, people just want to touch you, just want to be around it. But guys got to earn those things too, right? I think that's what Jimmy Ray's like, guys got to earn it. And so Xavier Worthy, Jared Rowley, Sua Mate, like all those guys, Hicks, all these guys, they'll soon learn it. They'll soon get there, right? And they got to learn how to deal with stardom. Okay. You think you have stardom at TCU and maybe at Texas, okay, BYU and those things. Wait till you get here with the Chiefs and you're walking around and everybody sees you, they see your face and whatnot. It is a whole different animal altogether, man. I'm telling you, whole different animal altogether. So
about time was that big boy Toa show and he was meeting fans and taking pics. The guy in charge cut it off with my kids and I got there and asked for one. He said no. T. Rich cut him off and told him, come on up.
Yeah, that's T. Rich. That's who T. Rich is. That's who T. Rich is. So, but yeah, man, T. Rich is one hell of a guy, good person. He is not like that pretentious at all. He'll welcome anybody and everybody to come meet him. And there's number of guys like that in the NFL who wouldn't mind sitting down with people, having a conversation, or signing autographs. You know, as long as people are respectful, guys will respect that as well. You know, I can't stand cocky narcissists. And I never understood that as a football player, just because I'm not like that. To me, it doesn't even matter. I don't care what your title is or who you are. People are people, okay? And we need to understand that. If anything, like today with, you know, celebrating my friend's life, the pastor said, I don't see a Brinks truck behind the hearse. I don't see no things like that. So some of these powers and status and money and all these things that people covet to have all the time and be people of influence, people are just people. And we need to understand that, right? And so sometimes when people have this narcissistic thought about them, You know, I did. It boggles my mind. It does. But hey, sometimes it's just who people are, man. But just treat them like just regular people, because that's what we are. But that's just a job we're doing. We're doing a job like y'all doing a job out there as well. So,
yeah, T. Rich is special, man. You and T. Rich, to have the best O-line of all time, to have the best tight end, best blocking tight end of all time, you, and the best fullback of all time, and T. Rich. That was special, man, because T. Rich, no, I mean, obviously, what the body of work you guys did as far as the 1,000-yard rushers that you guys had during the time in KC, but for him to go to Minnesota to block for AP, have some of AP's best seasons, then to follow that up with Thomas Jones, a couple 1,000-yard seasons, and then I think LaDainian Thompson's like last big season with the Jets. I mean, T. Rich, if you look at his track record, man, it's 1,000-yard backs traveled wherever the hell he went.
Priest Holmes, Larry Johnson, Adrian Peterson, Damon Thompson. I think even a block for what's it, Curtis, and the Jets.
It was Thomas Jones, and then Thomas Jones. Yep.
Okay.
I believe it in Minnesota. I think he had AP and Chester Taylor.
Yeah, and yeah, I think so. So, yeah, but T-Rich, man, when you see it, I mean, this behind him littered with 1,000-yard backs, 1,500-yard carriers, 20-plus touchdown guys with touchdowns. And so special, one of the best fullbacks in the history of the game, in the history. There would never be a category for that in the Hall of Fame, but everybody knows who he is. He's one of those guys, you know, and it's good to be recognized by your peers. Even though, you know, it's stat-wise, what you done and stuff like that. But when we talking about blooding some people's nose up in football, T. Richard hits you square right here in the middle of your head, okay? And you're going to know he's there. So you ain't going to forget it, you know? So there's a few of them.
It's crazy, too, because, like, we're talking to you and talking to T. Rich, you know, like, there's just some of the best blocking fullback and blocking tight end of all time. And you guys both, I mean, we had T. Rich on the show. I mean, you know, only one time I ever talked to him. He was nice as can be. You two guys, nicest smiles, you know, just nice people. And then, like, on field, you don't want to get in your way because you see 89 or 49 coming your way, get the hell out of the way.
Yeah, you better. You better, man. We was doing some work out there. Demolition, okay? And we was putting it on Joker. So, and everybody knew it. They still couldn't stop us. Still couldn't stop us. We was dangerous back then, brother. Dangerous. I'm the Brown said, with less than 10 teams have a fullback on the roster these days. Yeah, man. They want it to be, NASCAR out here. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. But you see the ones that the teams that do have fullbacks, shoot, them suckers show out. Show out, man.
We played against a team in the Super Bowl two of the last my 5 years that have one of the best fullbacks in the league with the Hughes check. So
that's right.
It still wins.
Still wins. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Mike Cloud because, you know, last night was the whole Tom Brady roast. So I don't even know if he was there last night, but he was one of those guys on those Patriots teams that won after KC when goes to New England and gets himself a ring.
Who's this?
Mike Cloud. I don't know if he was there last night, but he definitely has ties to those guys at that roast last night.
I think Mike did get a ring with them.
Yeah, I think so. He did. 03?
03. I think he was there.
Was that when the Pats played the Panthers? Yeah, that was when they beat the Panthers, yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So Trey L said, do you guys think we will have McDuffie long term once his rookie contract expires? I tell you what.
Now question.
Yeah. It's too soon to know that. He's one of those guys that you have to think long or hard about letting go if you do. I mean, it had to be something that you was like, well, we can't pay this guy and whatnot. Because sometimes that's how guys become expendable. Because you cost too much, and so sometimes teams got to let you walk. But when you got a Pro Bowler like Trent McDuffie, I mean, come on, you got we got to keep this guy. He's one of those dudes without a doubt that is a baller on our side. So we'll see. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So sticking with the DB conversation, Julia Gulli asked, question mark, Haddon, Hicks, how does Veach keep getting these DBs? I hope these guys are badasses. We'll see about Haddon. That's going to be a more project, I think. But Hicks looks the part.
Yeah.
He looks the part, JD. When I see him, he looks like a linebacker / safety, and that's kind of what they're going to use him all over the place, I think. And that's kind of the chief special as far as the versatile guy.
Yeah, I think we've known this just looking at his video. He has that about him, and the Chiefs do a good job of just seeking these guys out. The body types, the one that Spags likes. I think once Spags and Dave put their thumb on somebody, the Chiefs are like all in on it. And so you find these dominance in the rough, but this guy had gotten a lot of press, you know, at least through some of the scouts were saying how good he was. Thank God he fell to us. And so we could utilize his skill set immediately. Looks the part. I think he's going to play the part. But yeah, man, that's what they do well, is the DB part of it, that aspect. I think they know as far as what it holds for them. You know what I'm saying? They got their formula together as far as what they want in the playoff.
And that formula, what we kind of talked about on one of our post draft shows, is they know there's a certain guy who's coming up next year. He's going to be a free agent, Justin Reed. You bring in a guy like this, I don't think you resign. And you know, going back to the whole McDuffie thing. With the way our front office works, the DBs, and they feel like they have a formula when they find these guys. They don't need to re-sign and pay a lot of money to these DBs. They see it kind of more interchangeable kind of thing. And Hicks comes in, Justin Reed's gone next year. As much as I love Justin Reed, I feel like that Jaden Hicks could be the guy where they say, "Yep, we found our replacement for him. There you go. You don't have to pay him."
Hey man, look, sorry to say, but I'm the Brown. He's got it right. So Chiefs don't really resign DBs, De'Ron Cherry and Dale Carter to now. Chiefs drafted great DBs, but don't resign them. That's, you know, like I said, it goes into the bag. It goes into, like, you know, when you're dealing with, you know, your cap, what can you possibly do? Okay. We got Chris Jones on making $33 million a year. And you just got to pick and choose who you're going to keep, who can. And the thing is, you don't want to mess with the integrity of the defense. Right, if you have a guy that can almost do what another guy can do, that's the guy you want to keep, and you want to be able to do it at a cheaper price. That's how it works in the NFL. Okay, that's what the Chiefs have been doing. That's a formula. So, like I said, he almost had to be somebody you just can't pass up. Okay, if you do a team friendly deal, possibly. So,
and I'll tell
Wendy,
you this.
Wendy, hold on. Well, Wendy, Reed's not gone yet. I said, I'll miss Reed. He ain't gone yet. We don't know. So, you know, we speculate, okay?
And the one thing I'll say is when people talk, and we talked about it on our show earlier today, was that people say, well, if he was the best safety in the draft, then why'd he fall to round four? Well, because if you look at the free agency pool of safeties, there's still really good safeties out there. And that also goes to the point of, You're not going to pay top dollar to Justin Reed. I mean, look at the guys out there right now. There's guys who can start on most teams in the league right now that are still out there in free agency. It's just not there. And we can say, we went younger and we went cheaper, and that's why our fourth round guy is Jaden Hicks.
Hey man, look, if you're doing team friendly deals, and you're willing to work with the Chiefs, that's the way it goes. But you can't come over here and think you're going to break the bank. Not gonna happen. Look, and I'll say this real quick. I seen that OBJ went to Miami, but I think, you know, OBJ wants a bag. He wants to keep getting paid on what he's doing. Okay, and I also think that, you know, he doesn't like being either second or third fiddle to guys. You know, he wants to be one or two. That's what he wants to be. I think it's right. Well, number three, yeah. So that's what I think about that. But guys still want to get paid, and rightfully so, they should. Go get paid. If a team's willing to pay you and you feel like that's a good fit for you, go do it.
Were you surprised that OBJ went there? I mean, he's not going to be number one or number two option. Although both guys, Waddle missed some time last year. He was him and Tyreek on the questionable tag every week. So yeah, he's got a chance to be maybe number two there. But then they also drafted the guy we were fans of, Malik Washington, and the USC receiver, Taj Washington. So they went really hard with the receiver. They did what you and I wanted to do with the receiver room in this draft. And then they also brought in a veteran on top of already having two of the top 20 receivers in the league. So very surprised that they went this route.
Hey man, Darren is trying to stock up. That's what he's trying to do. and also too at a cheaper price. If you get guys, younger guys in to learn from this is how it works in the NFL. Okay. So we paying Tyreek Hill $30-something million, right? Waddle's gonna come up, he's gonna be wanting a whole lot of bag. He's seeing how the money's flowing down there. So you ain't gonna be able to pay guys. So guess what? The writing's on the wall. Okay, sure. Hey, come down, have a good time. We'll get you in for a year, see what's going on. But as far as like us giving the money in the bag, there's only one guy that we're gonna be able to pay. Okay, and so that's Tyreek Hill right now for them. All the other guys, they are replaceable. That's the way it works. And right.
The crazy thing to me on that whole thing is the fact that it's worth like up to like $9.2 million or something like that. Whereas our deal with the Hollywood Browns is worth up to $11 million. He's younger and like, I mean, there's a lot of juice left in his tank. Not saying there's not a lot of juice left in OBJ's tank, but we talk about the age of these guys. I mean,
yeah.
You can still see more of a development with Hollywood Brown. There's really, we don't really know. We've seen the best of OBJ. Now it's kind of the towards the end of his career, whereas Hollywood Brown's just getting started. We're finally going to get to see him in like a very like vibrant offense and maybe utilize his strengths this year. So,
yeah,
it's interesting the deals they took. OBJ's agent, man, that guy's doing a good job.
Yeah, no, he's still getting them. So, hey, hats off to him getting paid.
Yes, sir. So we got a question here from Lacey Snake based on our show last week. JD, is it okay that I've called a few friends pudding since the last live I caught?
Absolutely, 100%, Lacey. I seen that. I didn't get to respond, but I remember you saying that. I chuckled at it. And I appreciate you so much for saying that. So people who may not have seen the episodes before about my brother, Victor Riley passing away, but he used to call people pudding to me. I think it's paying homage to him, but I do appreciate that, Lacey. Pudding. So I'm going to call everybody pudding out here. So, but nah, I think everybody's good out here, man. So yeah, pudding. I like it. Appreciate it, Lacey.
We got a funny question from our guy, Amit Brown, 270. So Marcus and Tage on the scale together would weigh. Actually, no, Tage's big boned. Now, I don't know what he weighs, but yeah, no, us two together would not get that. I'm 160 by myself, so yeah, a giant 160, JD.
There you go.
Yeah, we did clip that a little bit, but I get the humor there, Amda. Donna Cochran Zammit is also listed as a RB right now. Yes, he's listed as an RB, but they tend to use him as an athlete. So if you're going to think about, if you look at him in the back, it looks kind of weird because he's kind of a slender build. Remember Dexter McCluster? He was listed as an athlete, wide receiver, running back. So we'll see him sometimes line up in the backfield and sometimes out wide. So it'll be a mix of things with him. But they said the position they're going with as his label is going to be running back. But you'll see him all over the place.
Yeah. So I'm excited, man. When he get into camp, see what this guy looks like. You know, and put my own eyes on him. You know, just being there, so I'll be able to get a better assessment of everything. As far as what everybody else is saying,
so. Yeah, I'm curious to see what you think. Is me right now, everyone's just going by him catching the punt on a jugs machine. Like, oh, this guy looks great. Like, come on, guys,
what you supposed to do? Yeah. Hey man, look, everybody got. I heard people get on me like, JD, when I was saying Justin Ross caught the ball one handed. I said, man, guys catch one handed balls all the time. Well, how come they're not doing it in the game? Well, shoot, we tell you catch a ball with two hands in the game. Ain't like that guys can't do it because they can, but it happens all the time in practice. You know, you practice every single day. Tons of balls going to be thrown your way. In games, you only got so many balls going to be thrown to you. So, but no, man, good. I'm glad he's got good hands.
Question from Amda Brown. Question. Has Chris Jones eclipsed Derek Thomas as an all-time great Chief on the Chiefs player list?
No, not yet. Mm-mm. And the reason is, what Derek Thomas was able to do, here as a Chief, nobody's been able to emulate, the sacks he got in the one game, his mark on just the organization in itself. So when you're talking about Kansas City Chiefs, if you're not, I don't know, how would you say it? If you're 25 and over, no doubt the greatest Chief to ever play would be Derek Thomas or You know, you might have to say, well, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, what he's been doing now, right? But, you know, at Lenny, so those will be the guys. But Chris Jones had to get into, you know, a couple number of years just doing some amazing, amazing things. But DT, man, is like, that's, he's the guy. I don't think you replace DT with Chris Jones. People who didn't get to see him play missed, man, one hell of a player. He's one of the best of all time. And then people tell you on other teams, like Hall of Famers tell you how good Derek Thomas was. Said something. So Don Peterson, yeah, Don, you know, he knows, he understands that. He knows, always number one, always will be. It's hard to eclipse that, man. It's hard to eclipse DT. So,
well, plus, yeah, a factor. I mean, just, as of right now, you could say no, just based on years. So, I mean, he played 11 years all with Kansas City, and Chris Jones only played 8 years so far on Kansas City. So, not even as far as even longevity with the team yet. So, like, and it's also hard to kind of when a guy hasn't played the, you know, he's only played 8 years out of the 11 years that Derek Thomas did play before he, you know, he tragically passed away. But yeah, the fact that eight to 11, he hasn't passed it yet. And to even compare a DT to an edge rusher, I mean, it's just tough. It's tough to compare marks there.
Yeah, it's hard to do, man. But like, man, he 7 sacks in one game. Nobody doing that. He still holds the record. DT could turn that corner to sack like no other. Yes, he could. I had to block him when I was up in Philly. So, like I said, man, he was one of those guys. I had a gauntlet of guys my first 2 years I had to go through. And so I remember those the gray, you know, sleeves coming out the jersey. I always hated to see that. Always, you know, and you know, the elbow pads and whatnot. But yeah, DT, man, was one hell of a player. One hell of a player. So
7 of his 11 years, double digit sack seasons. Seven of his 11 years. Right out the gate, 10 sack, 20 sack, 13 and a half, 14 and a half. That's probably one of the best first four year stretches of all time, maybe, as far as sacks.
Without a doubt. I would argue anybody down to say otherwise. That Chris Jones, no shade. I'm sure Chris would tell you that too. So I had a conversation, man, with my barber on Saturday. You know, you see, like I'm a little lined up and stuff. You
look
know,
good,
my hair
man.
Done. I'm looking, yeah, look, ooh, you know, so flashy. I got my hair, you know, so
it's prom season, baby. Jay's looking clean.
But we were saying, we you know, he was right. He made an incredible point. He said, you know what it is, JD? He said, man, these young players, he's a Raiders fan for one. Okay. So we always go at it. I love it. But we always talk about like these young guys don't do their homework to know who the older guys are. They don't even do the homework. They don't do to know who came before you. Who was the dudes before that? The respect there. Of having guys that laid the tracks down, okay, who set the standard. A lot of these young guys just don't do it. They just don't know. They just don't know. And it's almost sad because when you're in the age of information, right, you have the ability to look up these things, and guys still choose not to do their homework. I think that's short-sightedness. I think that's something that, you know, you don't have any type of awareness of those things. Oh, man. So, yeah. Donnacar said, Raiders fan, you need a new barber. Nah, hey, that's my brother right there. Yeah, hey, look, look, we've been friends for a long time. He does a great job on my head, has been for a number of years. But that's one thing that we go back and forth. It's good because you have to have that, though. You have to have those things. So,
It's tough to avoid Raider Nation. Chiefs Kingdom's one thing, guys. But Raider Nation's all over the place too, and you gotta give them credit for how long they've been bad over the last 2 decades. I mean, you gotta give them credit because they're still out there, man. They're out there in bunches too, all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Jeff Pinkin. I love DT, but my favorite all time was Bobby Bell. Bobby, bad boy. I'm trying to tell you, love seeing Bobby. Bobby had that aura like when Charlie Murphy was talking about Rick James. That's how Bobby Bell is. When he walks in, man, you know exactly who Bobby Bell is. Willie Lanier, too. Both of those guys. I mean, it just the way they carry themselves. You know, these some bad jokers out there.
The old timers, man, in both the NBA and the NFL, the classics, you can just they have this. Not saying that the younger guys don't, but there's kind of like this, like, I don't know, it's like this mystique about these old, when they walk into a room, like right away, like at a Sixers game, I was watching the other day, and like, you know, you see some of the old time guys, and you see Dr. J, and it's like smooth, man. That's just like classic. Oh, and I don't know how to explain it, but there's something about those old guys, the Bobby Bells, Willie Lanier's, the, you know, the Dr. J's of the world. When you see them, it's like, man, like that's the class, and that's classic, you know, of our sport.
When I came out, because remember I was going to try to do like the little barbecue tour and stuff like that, the barbecue before the game, had no idea how to do like any of that. Well, everybody's moving into the stadium, and sure enough, everybody's in. I'm kind of loading everything up, and who starts sliding through? Willie Lanier. It seemed like everybody had to go into the stadium for him to show, and he's coming in. I'm like, Willie, how you doing? You know, we give a hug. I said, look, I want to interview real quick. I got the interview somewhere, man, but it's always gold. Just gold. And I was just like, man, just, you know, it reminded me of the time when, you know, in the movie Forrest Gump, and Forrest is talking and they pull out his mic. Mm-hmm. Nobody can hear him speak except the one guy. And he just cried like, like, man, he's doing amazing. That's how I felt. So, good stuff. Tecmo Bowl. Oh, now I'm the Brown. Now you talking my language back then. Yeah, man, we used to have so many tournaments of Tecmo Bowl. Chris Nokoye was unstoppable. Yes, he was.
He was no Bo Jackson though. JD. Bo Jackson was a cheat code in that game.
Oh yeah. Oh, no question. Yeah, Bo, you might as well forget it.
I presume T. Rich is Ted Richardson. I don't know if I ever met him, but Jason, I will tell you, after 25 years, he's good people. You would, out of doubt, go far and beyond to help you no matter who you are. JD, that's who you are, man.
Appreciate it, my brother. Love you, Stu. You already know, man. You know that. You know how I feel for you. You know, so that's my heart. That's how I feel about everybody. So I don't shoot. Love everybody. If I could do anything for anybody, I'm here to do it. So
yes, sir.
Yeah.
Your special comment, man.
Appreciate it. Timberbow, now that shows my age. Hey, Lewis, some good times right there, man. That Tecmo Bowl, come on. That's
there's an attachment or plug-in that you can get. People sell Tecmo Bowl, but they sell it with the updated rosters. So like you could get like, I think on eBay, if you type in like updated Tecmo Bowl, they'll send it to you, because you know they have like the new systems and stuff where you can play the old
game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, different plugins that have that, but they make that with the updated rosters. So if you are a big Tecmo Bowl guy, you don't want to play Madden with the new rosters, you can get Tecmo Bowl with the Kelce and Mahomes if you wanted to.
Wow, that's awesome! Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. My older brother is a big fan, big fan of that. Raiders fan, of course, since we're talking about Raiders fans, yeah. Tecmo Bowl fan, and yeah, he's playing with the. Although if I'm a Raider fan, I wouldn't want to play with the. I'm not knocking that guy, this team now. I wouldn't want to play with that team. I'd want to play with the Bo Jackson team from the early 90s. So,
mm-hmm. Scott Allen said, playing Madden right now. Okay. I haven't picked up the sticks in a long time, in years. No, I take it back. My grandson had the, what's those called? The Visions or whatever.
Oculus?
Oculus. Yeah, he had that. And we were playing football on it, and so I had to take him down, show him a little bit, you know. So he didn't quite know, but that's the Oculus is amazing to be inside that thing and look around and throw the football and stuff.
It's crazy. Shoot. I was doing this one. I forgot what the game was called. My nephew had it. It was called like something like you're pretty much walking. I'm afraid of heights, but it was one of those things where you're walking on like a plank across a high rise.
Uh huh.
I was, as soon as my character like kind of like fell off, I was scared myself. I thought I was falling.
Oh man, yeah, that's some crazy stuff right there. You know, just the you know, play with your mind, psychological effects of what it does to you. But yeah, it feels so real. But I did love the football. I kind of talked my wife into getting one. I said, well, I'm going to get one. And she's like, absolutely not. I was like, really? I played Madden 06 game, got crazy. It kind of did. I just didn't quite like the adjustments and what they were doing, transitioning things. It seemed real, but it just seemed a little bit more, I don't know, clunky. I know they said it made more realistic, but it just didn't feel that way to me.
Once I got away from the PS2 Madden, that's when I still played it all throughout college and stuff, but like nothing goes the PlayStation 2 Madden, like the Madden 06, Madden 05. That was probably the end of like the golden age of Madden, I would say, like the early 2000s.
Yeah, definitely. So my roommate has the Xbox Series S. I got my regular Nintendo and Super Nintendo. Yeah, there you go. Nintendo, Super Nintendo. I never an Xbox guy. Never liked Xbox. Hated it. If you're an Xbox person, by all means, God bless you. But I never liked Xbox. I was always PlayStation, Atari. Like, I think Wendy said something about Atari, Nintendo. I loved all those different things, man. I think people will play, Xbox for particular games. And, everything was like exclusive. You could only play certain games with certain consoles or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And I think everybody was doing, what is that? The song. Oh, shoot. It's on a TV show now. Fighting game.
Like Tyson's Punch-Out?
No. The dude, The Rock played him one time. Master Chief. What is that called? The game.
Mortal Kombat?
No. Somebody bring it up in here. Master Chief on Xbox. I think it used to be an exclusive game on there. Halo. Thank you.
Underground. Okay.
Appreciate it, brother. That's it. Halo. So I think it's what everybody was doing Xbox about. I really didn't get into that. Halo. Doom. I didn't really play Doom either.
Were you a Sega Genesis guy, JD? Did you ever have Sega Genesis?
No, I didn't like Sega Genesis either as much. Wow. I like some games, but I played every once in a while some of the Sega Genesis.
Do you remember the football game Super High Impact? It was the game. It was a football game, but like you could actually like fight during the game. So you had to match the buttons, and like whoever got to the highest meter first, they won the fight during the game.
I think so. I think I do remember that game.
They didn't have any license for any teams, but they had the LA team was black and silver. The Kansas City team was red and yellow, but they didn't have like any actual names.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. For the rights, yeah, they didn't want to pay anybody. I was a Nintendo guy, no doubt about it, for sure.
Yeah, they had I don't have it, but one of my friends has the Nintendo Switch, which pretty sweet. They brought back a lot of old games, but like with like the updated like stuff. But like you can play Dr. Mario, you can play Mario 64 for the Nintendo 64 Mario if you want to. So the Switch actually has brought back a lot of like the old games, but it kind of updated the graphics and stuff. So you don't need to buy an old Nintendo to play the old games again. You can get the Nintendo Switch, and that has a lot of it. So I think I might have dabbled in that, honestly, because that was the last like mecca for me to play like video games was playing Nintendo 64. So bringing back those old games, that's nice,
Oh yeah.
There you go, Lewis. A lot of the old games are on the Switch. There you go, Nintendo Switch. And apparently during COVID, you couldn't find a Nintendo Switch anywhere. If you did want to find one, you had to go on eBay, and they were quadruple the price of what it actually was.
But really,
everyone was playing Nintendo Switch during COVID. That was the game system during COVID.
What is Switch is like a little? Is that the little small thing that you?
It's really small, but you can like plug it into the TV and like and you can also there's attachments where you can use the old controller. So if you let's say you play Nintendo Wii and you want the Wii controller or a Nintendo 64, you plug that attachment into the system and you can use your old controllers for it, which is pretty nice actually.
Okay, never a Wii guy either.
I wasn't a Wii guy either. I wasn't a Wii or GameCube. Nintendo 64 was my last like Nintendo for me.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So from what everybody has seen so far, and I'm asking the crowd right here. All right. Who do you think is going to be our biggest competition for the Super Bowl? Who do you think the team to beat? So I want to see what everybody else is saying out here. Okay. Based off of the draft or what y'all seen on the draft, who players have. We actually had a conversation in our text feed. And a lot of people were, well, some of the fellas were talking about some of the best quarterbacks. I ain't going to say who said that Joe Burrow went in even in their top 10 quarterbacks. So I was like, ooh, okay. Not top 10 quarterbacks. And he went through the list. He went through the list, which I thought was a very interesting list, especially with some of the guys that just got in. But I think guys are starting to kind of push, get him out of the way. Like, okay, you know, is Joe Burrow that guy? They said he'd just be a guy if he didn't have the you know, obviously the guys around him, right? His supporting cast is what changes for Joe Burrow. I disagree with that. I think Joe Burrow is a very talented quarterback. But I do believe Houston, I do think Houston is one of those, no doubt.
So yeah, it looks pretty unanimous. Everyone's saying Houston here. You got Scott, 801, 80 Allen, Houston, Wendy, Texans and AFC, Lewis, Texans for the AFC. NFC is mm-hmm. going to be tough this year to pick a winner. Mm-hmm. Houston, my guess. Yeah. Okay, you got there. You go. I was surprised you didn't see any of these Ravens. There's another one, Charles, with the Ravens in the AFC. It's interesting about Burrow, JD, because like I would say the biggest thing for me is durability. Because play wise, we know. I mean, we know what he's capable of. We may not like him. We may not like him as a fan base, but he's. I mean, what he's done. I mean, he's the only guy in the AFC in the playoffs to beat Pat besides Tom Brady. So we know what Joe is capable of. It's the durability. Oh, yeah. It's the durability aspect, and like the best availability is. Availability. So like, yeah. And what's his name? Who's their quarterback this year? The dude from Washington who stepped in and dominated for them.
Yeah. I can't think of his name, but he set the records. So like Denny in high school and college, like he's a good quarterback. It wasn't like he was a slouch, you know, he wasn't chopped liver out there. So he was a good quarterback. It was a good, great backup. We got to see how good he was. He almost walked into it like Purdy did. So he ended up winning, I think, he was like 4-3 under him, I think, I believe, something like that in his record. So he did a good job.
Jake Brown was his name.
Jake Brown, yeah. So we know he was an accomplished guy when he got into the NFL. So I think that was it.
Between Burrow's durability and T. Higgins, the whole question mark on the T. Higgins thing, if he holds out because he wants money or he wants out. Exactly, his contract extension. So that's still a weird thing they got lingering going into the season. So I wonder how that's going to be squared away. So that's a big mystery there. And also Tyler Boyd gone too. So we're going to – and Mixon's gone too, and can't forget that as well. So I'm curious to see how they look this year because, yes, Chase is great, but they're also – if all those guys are gone at Higgins too, they're going to have a tough time.
Yeah, see, I haven't really checked out to see who the new additions were. And I didn't know who they drafted. So,
I'm trying to get their roster right here. Their roster. So receivers.
They got defensive end Miles Murphy. Good. Yep. Cornerback DJ Turner. Good. Safety Jordan Battle. Good. Okay. Wide receiver Charlie Jones. Okay. Halfback Chase Brown, good.
Jermaine Burton was their main addition, JD, the receiver that you and Tejo kind of were split on.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They got Jermaine Burton.
Yeah, so that's their replacement for the Boyd and Higgins, I guess, insurance policy there.
Oh, shoot, that sucker, he going to tear something up. we don't know, but yeah, he was a good receiver. He's a good receiver. So
good receiver. And they got him pretty late, too, so I mean – they got good value on that, and that's good insurance policy if T. Higgins is gone. So I love the unanimous, pretty much everyone's on Houston this year to be the biggest competition.
It's going to be tough, man. Houston's going to be tough. I like I said, I like T.J. Stroud. I like his mindset where he's at. I love, you know, obviously the coach, man. You know, shoot, he's a hell of a guy. I always liked him, you know, even playing against him. So, I mean, DeMarco, man, he's always been a stand-up guy in the league.
D'Amico Ryans is a badass, yeah. He was always good.
Paisley says the use or dependability of the running back position has changed a lot over the years. Do you think we will ever shift back to running backs used more consistently in the offense? I think we was able to see – the shift this past year. And thank God we did, because we wouldn't have been as successful without it. And so if we didn't lean on Pacheco, we would have been in trouble. We'd have absolutely been in trouble. Will it be more consistently in offense? Oh, man. You know, when you have these weapons around him, Hazy, shorten it up. I think Andy loves pushing the ball down the field. He'll use the running back sparingly when he needs to. It's a good change of pace with a Pacheco. But we know we like throwing the ball around. I'm a more balanced guy. I don't look 60-40, okay? 70-30, whatever it may be, whatever you want to do, you know, shoot, 65-35. Yes, whatever it may be. But I think we need to run the football. We have to run the football to be successful. As much as you like passing down the field, teams are still going to back up. They're going to drop everybody in coverage, drop seven, drop eight. Okay, then they're going to dare you to run the football. Oh, fine. Okay. Dare receive and take it. So we like that. I want us to be more consistent running the football. The run opens up the pass. We know this. The run opens up the pass. And the more we run the football, the more we're able to throw the ball down the field. Establish that first. So I would like to see more consistency in the running the football from this point on. And hopefully we just keep guys in here that are able to do those things. So good question.
Yeah. And we, you know, I will say this though, in contrast to last year, we have more weapons on the outside now. So I'm curious to see how we actually, if we do go back to kind of doing what we did before the end of last year, we kind of, you know, relied on the run. Curious to see if I would love a balance of what we've done before in the past with a little bit of how we ended the season off. So if we can do that a little bit more, then why not? But yeah, I'm curious to see how they kind of differ on with having actually at threats on the outside now, whereas we didn't have that last year.
Oh yeah. John Clifford was just showing up. What's up, John? How's it going, my brother? Good seeing you, man. Good seeing you. Always good seeing you in here.
All right. Well, I guess that does it for all the questions you guys had. You guys are great again for the 2 weeks in a row. You guys holding court with all your questions. Love it.
Appreciate it.
So I mentioned it earlier on. So Wednesday night we are going to have undrafted free agent Reggie Brown, who I believe I want to say a few of you guys that have been talking about him as a potential guy in our receiver room. So it'll be great to have him come on here and talk to you guys about what he's all about. I mean, I was reading some of the stories on him. I mean, that guy was a 6-year senior at JMU, and being this whole thing with the transfer portal, he stayed there for 6 years, never transferred. He was a number two guy, and then finally this past season, he was the guy over there and went 53 catches for 1,000 yards. So, I'm curious to hear how everything went at rookie minicamp, and also you guys bring your questions to welcome him truly to Chiefs Kingdom.
Yeah, and I don't know. We might try to slide in. We got some guys coming in, man. We got some other guys. And if we don't take the whole time with him, I might have my boy McCain Mettenauer, you know, that we got. So, old lineman, guard, he could do it all too, man. He's a great, great kid that we got, undrafted free agent. Excited to see how everything's been going with him as well. So, stay tuned, man. Wednesday's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one. Yeah, so
pay-per-view event, but free.
Yes, sir. So,
all right, guys. Yeah. Well, that does appreciate it for us.
No, I was just, hey, Marcus, I'm going to do my thing. Tell everybody, appreciate you. Don, John, we're just getting in right now, and I'm the Brown Wendy. Donna, Jeff, Charles, Lacey, Puddin. Stu, my man, if you're still with us, appreciate you, brother. Love you. Talk to you soon. About time. Everybody, Scott, Trey, Andre, I don't know who else we missed. Hazy, good seeing you, man. Okay, but appreciate y'all coming out. Lewis, good seeing you again, man. Appreciate each and every one of y'all coming out, engaging. Time went by so fast, talking. We just sitting over here talking and enjoying it. So can't wait till we all get together at some point, man, to get out. If you're out of Kansas City, and I've said this before, I'm going to make sure. I'm going to put out there, let everybody know when I'm coming out there, man. And y'all come and join me. And we're going to have us a session, just talking, enjoying eating. And I love to have it. All right. Keep eating the pudding.
There you go. All right. Love you, JD, and love you, everybody. We'll see you guys Wednesday. Let's welcome our guys to Chiefs Kingdom in the Chief Concerns way.
That's right. Love y'all. Marcus, love you, brother. All right. You, brother. See y'all later. Y'all have a good night.
Have a good night, everybody.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.